House Committee on Business and Labor, and I'm going to open the work session at Hospital 3604. And before Teresa explains what we're doing here, I want to explain what I'm going to do. I probably should have recognized the fact that we're short on time, and I didn't. And we're not going to amend or even hear an amendment today that ties in the Buy America bill, which I'm a supporter of, into this bill. We're going to hear the underlying bill and the amendment that goes with it that the work group that I and Representative Bailey sat in on, and hopefully if we have the votes, we're going to move it out to the to Ways and Means. I want to apologize to any of the proponents of the other bill and to the opponents or the people that are concerned about it for creating in the last 24 hours a tremendous amount of angst and disappointment, depending on which side you're on. I felt Scott Winkles needed something to do, so and if he were the only one opposing, he's not here, so I can't really make fun of it, but if he was the only one opposing it, we'd probably be going a different direction. I hope he's listening somewhere. Anyway, and I did inform him last night that we weren't going to do this, so that's probably why he's not here, out of respect to him and the people he represents. So now you know what I know, and I hope everyone forgives me. If not, well, there's always next season. Teresa, what are we doing here today?
Mr. Chair, committee members, you have in front of you, and this was distributed to you electronically yesterday afternoon, the Dash 2 amendment. It is, again, like the Dash 1 replaces the measure. It does still maintain the task force on regional contract preferences, but it shifts the staffing of the task force from the Department of Administrative Services to committee services. The measure outlines requirements for membership, including for the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House, to appoint 3 members per chamber, 2 construction labor representatives and 1 construction contractor representative in the Senate, and 1 construction laborer representative and 2 construction contractor representatives in the House. The task force will be charged with to study ways in which the state, via public contracting, can encourage the construction industry to hire regional labor and make use of regionally produced construction materials, and also how to remove barriers to prevent reductions in atmospheric carbon emissions and devise a methodology for analyzing the sources and the extent of atmospheric carbon emissions from construction activity and the means for reducing and recommend necessary pilot projects to demonstrate the feasibility of the task force findings and recommendations. The task force is required to submit a report which can include recommendations for legislation to committees related to business, labor, and transportation no later than June 30th, 2011. And it also establishes a sunset date of January 1st, 2011. And there's an emergency clause in the measure effective upon passage. Members, you have in front of you a no revenue impact on the Dash 2 amendment, and there is a fiscal impact, which I can explain when we get closer to later on in the work session, Mr. Chair. That's your desire.
The fiscal impact that we have is
it is to the Dash 2, yes, Mr. Chair. Okay. And members, we received it this morning. It was uploaded. If you need a copy, we do have extra copies available for you to look over.
Okay.
The fiscal?
Yes.
I know I'm going to have to get my computer out, I guess.
It should be in your packet.
It is here, but.
Yeah.
All right. We have Sean Brennan here. Mostly I wanted him here to describe what we were doing if we amended the Buy America bill in, but I'd imagine, does anyone have any questions? First of all, I'll entertain a motion to move the Dash 2 amendment into the bill. Do I hear a motion? Are you ready for a motion yet? Sean to come up here and just tell us what we're doing?
I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, I haven't seen the amendment yet, so.
Sean, why don't you come up here and shed a little light on this before we make any more decisions.
Morning, Chair Schaffler, members of the committee. You wanted me to discuss the Dash 2s and Dash 3s in context?
Just the Dash 2s.
Just the Dash 2s. The Dash 2s are going to be, as Teresa gave you an overview, kind of a gut and stuff of the existing bill, and we're going to be changing it to a task force. And as she pointed out, we're going to have 6 members of the task force. They'll be appointed by the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House. Those members will represent, in rough proportion, 3 apiece for the construction contractors and 3 apiece for representatives of labor. And those folks will be charged with coming up with methods for using public contracting to help encourage contractors, construction contractors in particular, to use regional labor and materials in their construction projects, and also to find ways to reduce carbon emissions, atmospheric carbon emissions, from construction activities, and also to recommend pilot projects that will demonstrate the feasibility of using regional labor and regional materials along with reductions in carbon. Other than that, this is a fairly standard task force. There are some differences from our usual task force in the sense that this is a non-legislative task force. There are no legislative members on it. There are no expectations for compensation for any of the members of any sort, including expenses. And apart from that, there's a report required at the end of the biennium, after which the provisions will sunset immediately thereafter.
And I'm confident there will be probably one or two legislative members attending these meetings. Representative Holby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I kind of want to get a clarification on whether we have a definition of regional.
Representative Schaffler, Chair Schaffler, Representative Holby, we do not at this point. The members of the work group that I was talking to wanted to keep it regional as opposed to local, which also does not have a specific definition. But the idea here, I believe, from the proponents is that we want something that's not strictly confined to Oregon. I think initially they had some concerns with whether the Commerce Clause might apply. I think those are some issues that need to be discussed in terms of whether it would in certain cases. Generally speaking, for Commerce Clause purposes, if you have some kind of incentive or encouragement for an in-state producer or consumer of some sort that discriminates against out-of-state producers or consumers, that could be a federal Commerce Clause violation in certain circumstances. There's a somewhat more broad exception to that doctrine if the state itself is a participant, a market participant, in the thing that we're actually encouraging. So if the state, for example, were doing the public contracting or procurement in this case, then there's a good chance that the Commerce Clause would not be applicable. But in this particular case, I believe the proponents were wanting to make sure that the region itself, including Washington, Oregon, Idaho, the Northwest region itself, would be the source of the labor or materials.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. So if I'm hearing you correct, there may not be such a big problem with the Commerce Clause if it's regional. So say we excluded California, for example. And we just included Washington and Oregon and Idaho, we wouldn't be subject to the same degree of that Commerce Clause?
Chair Schaffler, Representative Holby, I think it would really kind of depend how we actually phrase that in part, because the Commerce Clause addresses a burden that the state itself, the state of Oregon, would place on commerce with any other state, basically. So if we did somehow exclude California from this, then there might be the potential for a Commerce Clause violation. There are other considerations that are involved. If, for example, what we were talking about is a police power of the state, and there might be a balancing test involved there as to whether the burden on commerce is outweighed by the interest or the particular interest being served by this particular enactment. But that's a different discussion, I think. Here what we're talking about is a task force that's going to study this possibility. Okay. I don't think that we're necessarily talking at this point about active discrimination on this state against other states.
Thank you. And I don't know what you're doing next summer, Sean, but we'll probably bring a lot of questions like this to you throughout our little meetings. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've danced on this line a little bit myself with federal law, and I think if we aren't on the line, we certainly have our toes over it at this point with what you're telling me. Have we run this through legislative council to get a read on it?
Well, first of all, we haven't done anything. We're just going to examine this, and I want to make that clear. And not only is it interstate commerce, we have national treaties relating to North America, among others. So, once again, that's the reason behind the task force. This hasn't been done anywhere. But that being said, folks, you know, we want to get ahead of this game because things are changing very quickly, and if we don't address it now, I think we could be in more trouble than if we sat around and didn't do anything. That's my humble opinion, Representative. Sean, you want to answer the
Mr. Schaffler, Representative Esquivel. At this point, Again, if we are looking strictly at the on the basis of what activities the state of Oregon itself does in procuring materials or, you know, acting for construction activities of various sorts, the market participant exception to the Commerce Clause would likely apply in that case, because the state would actually be procuring these items, would actually be going out to contract for these items, and as such, it's not operating in its regulatory capacity. Because it's not operating in a regulatory capacity, the Commerce Clause does not apply with the same force or in the same manner. So in this case, we might not be stepping over the line as you were characterizing.
Follow up,
please.
So in other words, what you're saying is it's okay for the public to have one set of rules, but we have another set of rules?
Chair Schaffler, Representative Esquivel, the courts have created that exception, I think, to recognize the fact that the states do operate in two capacities, one as a regulator of other businesses and one as a market participant on behalf of the state for certain certain contracting activities. And as such, anybody would be free to contract with anybody else in any similar circumstance. Here we're talking about regulating what the state itself as a contractor, a party to a contract, can do. The state is free to discriminate against anybody they wishes in terms of its own contracting, just as any ordinary contract party would be able to do business with who they prefer versus who they don't prefer.
So actually what you're saying is we can fix the RFP to make it so it's pointed. Is that what you're saying?
Generally, Chair Schaffler, Representative Esquivel, generally speaking, this is applied as a preference. When you actually go out and to set up a invitation to bid or a request for proposals, you'll apply a preference to those vendors who are located within the state who meet the specifications set forth for whatever it is that the state is procuring in that case.
Any further questions shown here today? Alrighty then. We'll just don't go anywhere for a second.
Thank you, Chair Schaffer.
Representative Witt.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Dash 2 amendments into House Bill 3604.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Witt moves Dash 2 amendments into House Bill 3604. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Just for one quick question.
Yes,
what was the difference between Dash 1 and Dash 2?
It changes the makeup of... Sean, go ahead and answer that question. You're the expert.
Chair Schaffler, Representative Thatcher, the basic difference is in who actually becomes a member of the committee. In this particular case, in the Dash 2 amendments, there are six members who are appointed by the Speaker and the President, representing on one hand the construction contractors, on the other labor. And those folks have a slightly different charge as well. I think, a little more simplified in terms of what they actually have to study in this task force. The details I can go into in terms of what they actually need to study. Teresa gave an overview of that. The previous bill, the Dash 1s, actually had a somewhat more broader brief. Task force shall study the viability of establishing a system in Oregon that procures construction services, must evaluate a bid by a uniform state standard for giving preferences to bidders or proposers that use construction methods that employ a workforce that's regionally located or that reduces atmospheric carbon emissions, and applies preferences to bids and proposals for construction services on the basis of applicable federal and state law, compares the costs of transporting and construction materials from sources located in close proximity to the construction site, and various other kinds of things of that nature. The Dash 2s are somewhat more simplified in terms of the range of things that the task force would study.
Any more discussion or questions on the motion? Representative.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. The original fiscal on the Dash 1s was about $58,000, and I see the new fiscal here says it's indeterminate. So what in the Dash 2s, except for the bottom line about the DEQ, said the contract may be $35,000 to $60,000. What in the Dash 2s changes from the $58,000 to indeterminate amount? What did we do? What did we change?
Chair Schaffler, Representative Cameron, I can't speak exactly to the fiscal analysis that was applied to this, but I suspect what's happening here is that it would be less costly for committee services to do the staffing than for DAS. But again, I would have to defer to LFO on that.
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Cameron, I can answer this directly from the fiscal. There is a sentence there, and Scott Burgess is also available if you have more detailed questions about the methodology behind the fiscal. On the second paragraph of the analysis, it states that the community services has a limited number of continuing staff to provide support to all appointed and other committees and task forces that are assigned. So the workload would be absorbed. The basis of that $35,000 to $60,000 amount is based upon the possibility of having outside expertise come in and work on the methodology in the study, because that is beyond the scope of what community services can provide.
So was the Dash Ones not run by committee services?
No. Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Cameron, no. The Department of Administrative Services was under the Dash One Amendment was staffing the task force. The Dash Two committee services would be staffing the task force.
And if Mr. Burgess comes up here, I'm going to ask him, since we're trying to save money on energy, why do we keep the heat up so high in this building all day? Anyway.
Are you satisfied with that answer, Representative? You want Scott to come up here and talk?
No, he doesn't need to come up.
Okay.
I got it.
All right.
I moved it from
very
one
good
place to another.
Yes, that's correct.
That's exactly correct. And we will be sending this to Ways and Means, by the way.
I don't know if you were in here when we announced that.
Oh, we're going to refer it to Ways
and
Means?
Yes, sir. That's okay. Correct. So any further questions? Any more further discussion on the motion? Is there any opposition to the motion? All right, see none, so moved. Representative?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House Bill 3604 as amended to the House floor with a due pass.
Oh.
I
should point out to the audience, we have been requested to move the bill for further consideration in Ways and Means. So
with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
I believe you were going to say that anyway, weren't you?
Yes.
Okay, the motion is to move House Bill 3604 as amended to the floor, due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion on the motion?
The bill?
Representative.
This is on the bill.
It's amended.
I don't like this bill.
That's fine.
I can go into the reasons if you'd like, but, you know.
We have
pointless
25 minutes.
Please, I'd enjoy hearing it.
Pardon me?
You would enjoy hearing it?
Please.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I think it's, and I can't figure out whether it's promotion of local workers hiding behind an environmental bill or an environmental bill hiding behind the use of local worker preference. I haven't figured that out yet, but I think it's more we're trying to promote local use of workers and contractors in that in the state of Oregon. I think it's going to throw up eventually whatever the I know this is a task force, but I think it'll eventually throw up market barriers. I think it's using the facade of an environmental, populism, whatever it is, movements to forward its cause, and I think it will end up causing extensive and expensive record keeping for both the contracting agencies and contractors, and we'll end up with more expensive projects, for one thing, just from that, and more expensive projects by the reduction of the pool of people who are allowed to bid. Oh, you know, who meet this criteria of how are you doing? Because we're supposed to be able to measure, and I'm imagining someone's going to have to keep track of the sources and extent of atmospheric carbon emissions from construction activity and the means of reducing them, transportation issues, size, and I mean, there's all kinds of things that I can't imagine would have to be tracked somehow, and it would be very expensive. I just think it's a good step. I think I like the concept of trying to use local workers. I think that'll eventually. I just don't think it's a good idea in the long run.
And Representative, I share much of your concerns. That's why I'm involved in this. That's why we're having this hearing. And I got to tell you, we have to get ahead of all of this. And that's why the task force is narrow, because it's a group of building trades folks, contractors who actually do this. And if we don't get ahead of the very things you're concerned of, it's going to be done anyway by someone who may not have your knowledge and experience in the building industry. I tell you, I think that's a bad idea.
I really do. I don't want a bunch of East Coast Ivy League people out here telling us how to run our state when we can do it better than they can. And I'll tell you, but unless we step up and do it ourselves, somebody else is going to do it for us. And I don't trust them, but I trust us. But I do appreciate your concerns. And believe me, if you think I'm going to bring anything back to this building that's going to allow a third-party litigant to thump us over the head and prevent and obstruct and deny our ability to build America in this state, well, I think you know that ain't the case. But I do share your concerns, believe me.
Well said, Mr. Chair.
Who was first over here? I'm sorry. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have any aversion or any apprehension about the task force. The only problem I have is that, gee, should we be spending money when we just lost $190 million with a forecast? But I think the ends will justify the means. And I'm going to support this bill because it is a task force. There's nothing wrong with listening to what people have to say and suggestions that people have to say. But I still do not like the fact that we're spending $60,000 when we can't even supply our schools with enough money so they can go 5 days a week.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Kennemer.
I guess two things. One is I appreciate the effort to see if we can't put more Oregon workers and Oregon suppliers to work. And that's a difficult challenge given some other constraints, but lots of constraints, and one of the few things we're doing in this special session to do that. The other is I appreciate the Dash 2 amendments recognizing the procurement office and they didn't have expertise to do this. So
thank you, Representative. I appreciate everything that's been said here. Believe me, I do. Even though my deep sigh, Representative Esquivel, wasn't aimed at you, but anyway,
it was.
We want to build. Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't do it, it will be done unto us unless we do it ourselves. And it's all about getting people back to work. And if we don't do that, believe me, if we don't get people back to work in this state, we are going to be cutting budgets. We are going to be cutting education, health care, and that's all there is to it. And when you got 30-50% of our building trade union halls out of work list, I'm telling you, it's impossible to maintain these budgets with all those men and women out of work. And we have to make sure that we do not create more obstacles and roadblocks to doing just that. Before I violate the rules and define anyone's vote, would anyone like to, any more questions or comments or discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chair, I want to know how you're going to define my vote.
Oh, I could easily do that, but not here. All right, so, in my opinion.
Doesn't offend me.
You could define mine, too. Anyway, is there any more discussion or questions on this motion? Is there any opposition to the motion?
Yes.
All right, then. Would you please call the roll?
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Representative Coyle?
Aye.
Representative Kimmer?
Aye.
Representative Matthews?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
No.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Representative Barton?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Chair Schauffler?
Aye. So moved. All right. Is there anything from a closed work session?
I'd like to sigh at my vote, too.
Pardon me?
I'm just using you.
Oh.
So would you like to sigh at my vote?
Oh, I'm gonna close the work session, Hospital 3604. Is there anything else for good order?
Okay.
We're adjourned.
Oh, yeah.